Friday morning on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, and Capital Call, an opportunity while the legislature is still in session to talk with our legislative team, and welcoming in the team from the Bartlesville area, Earl Sears and Travis Dunlap, John Ford, brought to you by Phillips 66, and good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, Charlie.
Morning, Charlie. And Charlie, first, and let me tell our listeners, Representative Dunlap will not be joining us this morning. This is the last day of session. Numerous things going on. He is in a meeting and a breakfast with members in regards to some final issues that need to be resolved. And he wanted me to send his greetings to District 10 and just to let everybody know he's sorry he couldn't be here this morning. So I just wanted to get that out front.
Well, the work goes on, and that's what I think is what the taxpayers would want him to be doing, is to do the work, as opposed to, not that this is not part of the job, but meetings are probably more important right now than his report, and we'll get to hear from him, I'm sure, the chamber forum in a week or so.
Absolutely. Well, Charlie, let me start. Today is the day. This is... it's been a long journey. It's been a challenging journey, and it's just been a journey that's, I think you could write a book about it. But anyway,
no, I couldn't, but you could.
We are glad today. The budget will come up probably about 9:30, 9:45. That I'll be presenting it. I'll probably take questions for about 2 hours, and then we'll go into debate, and then we'll vote upon the budget. But you know what? I would like to mention the first thing. Some comments I've made about this budget, and one of it is LSB. I'll be the first to tell you that.
Representative, tell people what LSB is.
I want to bring this up because I see your face on Facebook. Several people are sharing it, but I think the original post was from Oklahoma Source on Facebook, and yeah, it's got your official photo on it. Oklahoma, $1.3 billion short, schools closing due to budget cuts, roads crumbling, yet legislators request $9 million increase for the Legislative Service Bureau, and there's a big yellow arrow pointed right at your face, Mr. Sears. House Representative Earl Sears says the increase makes sense here in order to ensure salaries of staff and lawmakers will continue to be funded. What's your story?
I wish that people, the press, and just they get the story out right. Here's the bottom line.
Well, the press is here. Right now we're hearing from the unofficial press on Facebook. Go ahead.
I hear you, but the point I'm making is the LSB is what we call the Legislative Service Bureau. Okay, what we simply have done is taken the monies that we pay in the House budget and the Senate budget and moved that money to what we call the LSB. That is why we can track all of the salaries that by Constitution we must pay. That's all that simple move is, and shows a 184% increase in that budget when you move that amount of money. That way, the Senate and the House members, this is just only them in regards to, we can track their money. There is absolutely no pay raise. No one's getting a pay raise. As far as where I said it makes sense, is that we move those funds to that particular budget that we've never paid salaries out of, that we can track and make sure that everybody is receiving not only their salary, which is by Constitution, but again, that we can track those funds. It is just a simple of shifting money to another account. That's all it is.
So, Charlie, and as Earl said, by the Constitution, the legislative salaries and our benefits are set. We cannot increase our own salary. We literally cannot decrease our salary in times like this. So what happens if you have in the Senate budget, a significant part of it is constitutional salaries and benefits that we can't change. So if we take the same cut as other agencies, it's a heavier cut on what's still there. But also, if people would look and they would look at the line items for the Senate and the House, those budgets are cut by, I think, 25%.
Right. We received the same cuts in our House budget and Senate budget that every other state agency received in Oklahoma. So again, just as the Senator said, that we just moved those funds to the LSB in regards to our salaries in the House and the Senate. It's just a shift of money.
So in one sentence, taking money out of a left pocket, putting it in the right pocket, so to speak.
You got it. That's all it is. It wasn't even smoke and mirrors. Nothing was done in the dark of the night. And that's how come on this budget, where you have read all throughout it, you have in the Senate and the House an increase of 184%. And there's no question, if people don't know all the details, it looks like we're, you know, protecting ourselves or we're doing something to get a raise, and it just, but that's just not the story. And then we're having to get that message out there. And once the, I can't tell you how many people I've told this, and they go, well, that makes sense. Once you tell them what we've done and exactly why we did it, and just putting the money in that particular account, I haven't had a person yet say, well, that makes sense. And so that's what we have there.
And, Charlie, that's what's frustrating this time of year is there are truly a lot of really good things in the budget. There's some other really good pieces of policy education that we've passed in the last 2 weeks. But unfortunately, if some story like this tends to get most of the coverage and it detracts from the good things that really the citizens of Oklahoma are receiving.
And in all fairness, you can understand why people are frustrated when, again, I added more to that story that you're talking about in that interview, but, you know, no one helps you. It looks like how it said, you know, so we can be paid, or looks like there's a pay raise involved. Again, just not all the story gets out, and it just comes across the way it does. And then when you have Facebook, it's very easy to do what you've just explained. And we're all big boys down here, big girls. We can take that. But again, once people understand, we literally move money from one budget to the next budget, and no pay raise, nothing done in the dark of the night, they understand what we've done. And that's the gist of it.
Well, let's get on to the budget then, which needs to be approved by 5 o'clock this afternoon. And it looks as though, based on AP reports, as though, Mr. Sears, you're going to have some problems with the other side of the aisle and also some people within your own party that object to bond funding.
That is correct. I will compliment the Senate. The Senate, I believe, passed the budget on Wednesday by 30-16, I think was the number.
Yes.
And now the ball is in the House's court. And to tell you that we have a slam dunk or that we're going to win this game today, I'm just not going to say that right now. But we're still doing our due diligence to try to convince members that at this particular time they hope that we will support our budget. I'll argue with anybody. I'll debate with anybody. I think it's a very, very good budget. With all that we've gone through, we have made a priority of keeping core government as flat as we possibly can, and make sure they have a safe landing. And I'd be honest with you, I'm very, very proud of that. Education will receive no cut in 17. They still will have their 16 cut, which is about 2.4%. We've done a phenomenal job of helping the health care authority to the tune of about $83 million. We've been assured that will stabilize their budget, and they won't have rate cuts. Now, rate cuts is the programs and the companies that do the services on behalf of the people of Oklahoma. And that's a big deal because we're very proud of that particular. DHS, we're going to come back in with a supplement, not really a supplement, a line item situation that will help DHS. The one I don't mind telling you I'm very frustrated about, I'd like to have gotten more money back to mental health. Mental health would only receive about $7 million. Additional funds. I'd like to have got that up to about $20 million. But the big one reason we get to do all that is moving this bond forward, which was a $200 million bond. We could have done a $300 million bond, and people can beat us up on why didn't you do a $300 million bond. Well, we've got, I can assure you, the Senate had concerns about doing too much bonding, and I have members that didn't want to go too deep in bonding, so we hit and. Remember, this is always a three-legged stool. You have the governor and the governor and the Senate in the room, and we have members that didn't want to do $300 million. So we agreed upon $200 million, and that $200 million allows us a great maneuvering room in regards to helping the budgets. Plus, with the reforms that we had, we reformed in tax reform. We've done some, rolled back some tax credits. Quite frankly, we should have done some more reform in tax policy, and we should have done some more reform in tax credits. But the good news is we live to fight another day, and I'm confident that we will continue the journey that we're on.
Charlie, I think on the budget, if there could be 100 and 101 House members, 48 senators, we would each sit down and write our own budget, and I guarantee you none of those budgets would be the same as the one that we're voting on today. However, this, I think, is a very legitimate compromise. Some didn't get what they would want. Others were actually kind of surprised that they got as what they did. But I think Representative Sears, Senator Jolly, and the governor's office have done a good job on taking all the needs, all the sources of revenue, and making good compromises that make sense for the state for this year and the economy that we're in. Is it what we all would like? No. But it's so much better than it could have been. So I certainly applaud Earl for what he's done, and I think we need to get it passed and get on down the road, make sure our economy continues to grow, and hopefully next year we have a much better picture. Crude went over $50 a barrel for a short time yesterday. It was below 30 at one time. It's just been a tremendously difficult year. And within that year, I think they've done a great job.
Senator Ford, I know we talked about this some last week, but again, a news item came out of your office earlier in the week on the final passage of the bill repealing end-of-instruction exams. I know that is a small piece of the education budget because somebody has to pay for those testing services. But again, this is a major accomplishment for the education community, I think.
Absolutely, Charlie. The amount of money from the budgeting perspective that's saved is maybe $7 to $9 million. So in the overall scheme of things, it's not much. But this change makes so much difference in the lives of teachers and students. The end of instruction, I think, was a good theory when we implemented it back 10, 11 years ago. But unfortunately, it hasn't worked out as we all had hoped. And what we need to do now is get back to let teachers do what they do best, and that's teach the students what the skills they need in each subject, and not worry about preparing a teacher or preparing a student to pass a specific test. So this is a great piece of legislation, a lot of work between the House, the Senator, Superintendent Hoffmeister, the Governor's Office. We also had the Superintendents Association, the School Boards Association, a couple of the teacher bargaining units were involved. We had some chambers. This was truly a piece of legislation that over the last couple of years we came together, we were able to get it passed this year, and this is significant. If we were not at this point in time, if this would have happened a month ago, I guarantee you this bill would have been front page, top of the fold on every newspaper in Oklahoma, and the value and the benefit and the way that it would be accepted by the education community. Unfortunately, with all the other issues that are happening now, it kind of gets lost in the wind, but this is truly a significant piece of education, of legislation to help our educators.
And of course,
and Charlie, I've got to add to that. I was always in the middle of this. I didn't attend a lot of the meetings, but staying in the middle of it is just simply constantly telling that team that was, and I was invited to all those meetings, but I've always ended up as at a budget meeting, and Senator Ford, here at the end of what he's just commented about, we, the Senate and the House and the State Department of Education were in constant meetings. They've done yeoman's work. I'm just pleased. I'm excited. There's no question. We've heard from our teachers. There's entirely too much testing, and we just fell short last year. Senator Ford was very aggressive in trying to modify it last year. Quite frankly, it was the House's that slowed that train down, and I was very frustrated when I left here last year with a $611 million hole. But I was more frustrated that we didn't have the reform that we did in education to help our classroom teachers. And I'm just so proud of what we've done there. Quite frankly, we met with a group of teachers out at Wayside the middle of March. No, I think it was before session, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, it was before session. And they walked, there was probably about 25 in that room, and they walked us through their testing schedules and what they have to go through. And we, Senator Ford and I and Representative Dunlap, we just left there just frustrated, concerned, and just agreeing and proclaiming that we absolutely have to make this change this year. And I'm just very proud of the work that all of them have done. And the only words of wisdom that I had in doing this is just I would constantly go to our members and saying, don't let me down, get this done. And they have done that, and I'm just so proud of them.
Well, Charlie and Earl said that we do hear a lot from teachers, and I know every year about the testing window a few months ago, a couple of months ago, I would get a call from this very specific teacher, educator involved in testing, and, oh, I think her last name is Sears. First name may be Jane. But she would just tell me how bad it is. I don't know why she didn't call her own representative, but... But, Charlie, it's a good piece of legislation. Yep. Another thing that passed out of the House and the Senate, and that's been reported back home, but the Family Promise legislation, you know, that's certainly, I think, the way legislation, the way the system ought to work. We had a local group involved with this national program called Family Promise that helps families that need a hand up, that need to get some financial education for the parents. Churches allow them for a week to spend the night in a church, then they moved to another church. And there were some issues on the safety, and we ended up meeting with all groups. Representative Sears actually started this long before session and was very, very involved. And then when we started session, because of his involvement on the budget, he asked Travis and me to take over the actual legislation, and that's now passed. So good things do happen, and that's why I mentioned earlier, sometimes the headlines don't reflect all the things that we all should be very proud about.
Well, gentlemen...
And, Charlie, by all means, when you hear this thing, whether it passes or it goes down today, don't hesitate to call me later today, and I'll give you some remarks, either good remarks or sad remarks. But I feel good that we will get this budget. Are there things that members would like to do more? Well, by all means. But we only have so much money. We only had so many avenues before us. And again, I'll debate in the four corners of this state and in the middle of the state in regards to what we've gone through, the challenges we had before us. We have a budget that we're going to put in front of the members today, which the Senate has already passed, and I commend them, that continues to run state government, keeps our core programs intact, and we've made them a priority. And that is just something that when I say I'm proud of, I mean, it just good times will return, and we will be able to maintain and do some more good things. But at this point in time, with a $1.3 billion hole, I think we've done a phenomenal job with the piece of legislation that the members will be able to vote on today in regards to the budget.
Okay, it all has to come to a close by 5 o'clock this afternoon. Good luck on getting everything going. I'm sure you all want to be back in town for all of next week and the next several weeks unless you're taking personal time off. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Our program this morning brought to you by Phillips 66. That's a Capital Call on AM 1400, 93.3 FM K1.